האם זה באמת סגולה בדוקה? אז סגולה ללמוד בזה.
Erev Tov, good evening, Dobro Vietcher. We are in the Zera Shimshon on Parshas Metzora. We're going to do Os Vav, section number 6. In this week's Parsha, we continue, the Torah continues its discussion of Tzora'as, of the skin disease that people received for various transgressions. It was a physical ailment, but kind of with a spiritual cause, spiritual base. And the Torah teaches us a kind of remarkable, an amazing and remarkable set of facts, and they are that a person's body was not struck first. The first thing that was struck, if a person gossiped and slandered other people, was the individual's home, the bias, and the bias would the person's home would. Start getting blotches, different colored blotches on the walls, and that had to be looked at by the Kohen, and the person actually could have a case of Tzora'as Habayis, a type of ailment on the walls of the house. If the person, after that was dealt with, if the person continued with their inappropriate Lashon Hara, with the gossip and the slander, then the Tzora'as could strike the person's clothing. And that had to be dealt with. Only if a person stubbornly continued and didn't learn the lesson from the house and from the clothing, would from all of his material property being struck with Tzora'as, then and only then would the Tzora'as strike the person himself on his body or herself, and causing the blotches on the person's skin that had to then be examined by the Kohen to make a determination whether it was Tzora'as or not. And then if so, there was a whole special treatment and purification process with korbanos at the end and all of that. So the Torah tells us in this week's Parsha about that process, continuing the discussion from Parsha's Tazria last week. So the Zera Shimshon is going to jump right in, without giving us really that intro, he's going to jump right into the issue of when Hashem punishes as a person, does Hashem choose to punish the person directly or first choose to strike at the person's material property? So let's take a look at that. Again, this is Os Vav, Section 6, Parshas Metzora. Perek Yud Pesachim. In the 10th chapter of the Talmudic tractate of Pesachim, Hodu, the Gemara quotes the whole pasuk, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto. That is the first verse in chapter 136 of Sefer Tehillim, as we can see in the parentheses there. And of course, that's a very famous pasuk. Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, praise to Hashem because he is good. Ki li olam chasto, his goodness is forever. So the Gemara says, Lemi shegove chovo shel adam bitovoso. That pasuk doesn't just mean praise Hashem for anything and everything, although we should. It's actually specifically saying, because it talks about Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Ki Li Olam Chasto, what is the idea of he's good? The idea is that Hashem collects a debt from a person. If the person sins and Hashem, so to speak, collects a debt by punishing that person, Bitovoso. The Gemara says Hashem does that by striking the person, the good things that Hashem gave the person. For example, continuing in the language of the Gemara, Oshir Bishoro, if a person is a wealthy individual, then his ox could be struck, which was a very valuable animal. Ani, if the person was a poor individual, Biseyo, with his sheep, which was a much less expensive animal. So Hashem, instead of striking the person, whether that might mean killing the person or whether that might mean giving the person some kind of disease and taking out the punishment on the person's health and physical well-being, Hashem starts with punishing their property on the level of what the person has. And the Gemara goes on to give other examples of that phenomenon. Uperish Rash, it says Rashi, but it should say Rashbam. Uperish Rashbam, because the commentary Rashbam replaces the commentary of Rashi on this particular Gemara in Tractate Psachim. So that's a little correction you can make if you'd like to, or just mentally make note of the fact that it should say Uperish Rashbam. And the Rashbam explained on the Gemara, Bitovoso, Hashem strikes at the goodness, Ratzalomar, at his goodness. What is this? What does that mean to say? Bitova sheno sein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means Hashem punishes a person by punishing or taking out the punishment, inflicting the punishment on the good things materially that Hashem gave the person, rather than against the person's health or the person's life. The Ayin Shom, look over there in the Gemara and the commentary of Rashbam. Rashbam, by the way, was one of Rashi's grandsons. So our opening paragraph teaches us an interesting idea that we can see the connection between that idea and the idea in the Parsha that a person before getting saras on his or her body, their person's house might be struck, the person's clothing might then be struck afterwards. And so too in this Gemara talks about if someone commits a transgression and punishment is required, Hashem will take out the punishment on the person's belongings before punishing the person himself or herself. And for that, we say, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. We have to praise Hashem and thank Hashem for that, because imagine how difficult and terrible even our situation in life might be if every time a person did something wrong, they paid a penalty directly from their health and from their, God forbid, from the person's life. So the Gemara over there in Psachim is saying that's not what happens. Hashem punishes our material possessions and belongings first, and hopefully we can learn our lesson from that. Next paragraph, Koshe, this is difficult. Shahare af im lo yigbe mimenu hamamon, even if Hashem did not take out the punishment from a person's money or material belongings, v'yigbe migufo, and instead Hashem collected the debt, meaning inflicted the punishment, b'chaloyim royim bar minan, with terrible illnesses or diseases. Chas v'shalom, the phrase bar minan means, is similar to our phrase chas v'shalom, God forbid, uva misa, and death. Let's imagine Hashem punished a person through diseases and death. Im kol zeh, nonetheless, nikra, it could be called, top of the next column, v'tova shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is something good that Hashem gave to the person. It would still be called punishing the person with something good that Hashem gave them. Because when Hashem gives us life and Hashem gives us health, those are good, also gifts from Hashem. Shahare hu hanosein chayim urefua shleima l'chol basar. Hashem is the one who gives life and good health and curative abilities and with the body to every person. V'shayich shapir lomar hodu. And we would still be, it would still be accurate and correct for the pasuk to say, thank Hashem and praise Hashem, for when he punishes us, he punishes us with something good that he gave us. L'misha gove chovo shel adam b'tovaso. Hashem collects his debt when we sin from the good that he gave us. T'hainu batova shehish bialo. It means if Hashem took the person's health away, or God forbid, even the person's life away, it would mean Hashem punished us bitovaso with the good things that he gave us. Ve'ein lanu raya lomar, and therefore we have no proof to say, as the Gemara says, demayre dafka le'inyan hamamon, that the pasuk is talking about specifically when Hashem inflicts a punishment on our property rather than on our body or our health. So let's understand this question, which is at the root of this section in the Zera Shimshon. The question is that the Gemara seemed to believe that when the pasuk says Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto, we should praise and thank Hashem because of his goodness, specifically referring to the fact that when Hashem has to punish someone, he punishes their property. So Zer Shimshon says, why does it mean just the property? Even if Hashem, for example, gave a person an illness or made something happen, a negative to that person's body, that would still be punishing the person through something good that Hashem gave the person, because Hashem gives us life and health. So how did the Gemara know that the Pasuk was saying, to interpret the Pasuk to mean Hashem punishes our property before Hashem punishes, takes away our health or, God forbid, our life? And now he's going to move into responding to his question. Next paragraph, V'yesh lomar, and we can say, D'sholosh tovos yesh lo la'adam ba'olam hazeh. A person has three fundamental good things that he is given in this world, or that he could be given in this world. Hachayim, uvrius haguf vehamamum. Hachayim, life. Uvrius haguf, health of the body, physical health, vehamamon, and money and material things. Those are the basic categories of goodness that Hashem blesses people with. Obviously, some people more and some people less, but these are the three basic categories. Hachayim heim chashuvim mikulam. The blessing of life is the most important of all of these three categories. Next page, top right column. Vehamamon garua mikulam, and money and material things is the lowest level of the three. So the order, the descending order, would be life first, then health, and then our property and our material belongings. V'chol zehu legabe b'nei adam. This whole hierarchy that we just set out, as Zera Shimshon says, that he just outlined of life, and then health, and then wealth, is from the perspective of a person, of human beings. That's our perspective. Omnam, however, legabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we look at it from Hashem's point of view, kol hatovos hein shavos, all of the good things that Hashem gives us are equal from Hashem's perspective. Shahare hakol nivra b'ma'amaro, because everything was created through Hashem's speech, through Hashem's saying things. V'lohotzi zman bibriya zo yoser mizo. Hashem did not expend more time on creating one thing more than another thing. Uvein achayim, uvein hamamun, uvein habrius. And whether or not we're talking about life or money or well or health, Heim shavim lefanav. They're all equal in front of Hashem. So here we need to ponder deeply for a moment this idea, because it's so counterintuitive to how we normally think. From our perspective, no one would ever, no sane person, no reasonable, healthy person would ever think that life is not the most important thing that Hashem can give us. Obviously, without life, what meaning would there be to health or wealth? Everything would disappear in this world without the blessing of life. So life has to be first from our perspective, and far more valuable and important and significant than anything else. After that comes our health. And only after those two things do we list and give great significance to our financial well-being, to our money, and to our property. But life and health comes first. And of course, if a person sometimes loses sight of that fact, if God forbid there's then a threat to the person's health, or God forbid to the person's life, then everything is then put back into perspective very clearly. But the Zera Shimshon is saying we have to realize that's only our human perspective. From the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gifts that he has given us of life and health and wealth are equal. They don't, none of them are make Hashem work harder. None of them represent more of an investment by Hashem of time or effort or energy or in any way. So therefore, from Hashem's perspective, they are three gifts and blessings that Hashem gives us, which are equal, lefanav, in front of him. Now let's go to the next paragraph. Kemo shetzayar echad. For example, there Shimshon's going to illustrate his point of a moment ago. For example, let's take a painter, Yitzayer Kamatsuros, and he paints several paintings. Kol Echad Meshunes Mechaverta. Each one is different than the other one. V'yimkor Oson Kol Achas Lefi Erka. And the artist is going to sell each of his paintings according to its value or its the way it's evaluated. The Hainu Sheyachsho, this means he will consider, I'll call Achas Mehen, on each of the paintings, Kama Hotzi Al Zos, how much did he spend on this one, on this particular painting, Hotzoos Hatzvoim, Yoser Mechaverta, the amount of expenses for the colors, the paints, more than the other one. The Kamazman Hotzi Bezo Yoser Mi Bezo. And how much time did he invest on a certain painting more than another painting? Ulefi Erech Hazeh, according to this evaluation, Yishalem Hakone, the purchaser will pay Dime Shovya Bioser, will pay the value of the painting more so. So the more time that was spent on an individual painting and the more expensive the paints were and perhaps other materials that the artist used, then that painting is going to cost more. Omnam, however, im yi yukulon shavos, if all of the paintings that the artist painting were equal. Shehotzi kol kach zman vitseva bezo kimo bezo, the artist spent the same amount of time and the same amount of money on the paints and materials and supplies on one painting that he did on the other paintings. Eino yochol hamocher, the seller would then not be allowed mishuras hadin from the letter of the law, lahalos de mezo yoser mezo, to charge more for one painting than a different painting. So the Zera Shimshon says that an artist is allowed to charge different amounts of money for different paintings if there's a connection between what he or she is charging based on his or her time and his or her expenses. But if an artist just simply decides arbitrarily to say, this painting I'm going to sell for more, and it has no connection to the amount of time and money for supplies and paints that the artist needed for the paint to do the painting, to execute the painting, then that, according to halacha, would not be appropriate. Now, we need to pause here because, of course, the Zera Shimshon is not taking into account and certainly not the issue which has become such a common source of jokes in modern time, where paintings, the value of paintings has absolutely no connection to the time the artist took or the expenses the artist expended. It has to do with all kinds of other factors, many times having to do with the fame of the artist or other types of things that are not the concrete items that the Zera Shimshon mentioned. But nonetheless, we can certainly understand his point that from the artist's perspective, not necessarily the buyer's perspective, who may really want a particular type of painting for his new home rather than some other type of painting, and therefore is willing to pay a lot more for certain pieces of work more than other pieces of work. But that's only from the buyer's perspective. From the artist's perspective, if he spent the same amount of time and money on each painting, then he would be happy to price them at the same amount for each one. Vihine ha'odom ha'chote nikra kimo mazik. Just to make sure to bring that point home. So the Zera Shimshon has just illustrated for us why it is that Hashem views the gifts that he gives us of life, health, and wealth as equal from his perspective, even though they have a very different value and a very different proportion from our perspective as the recipients of those gifts. And we see that in the case of the artist and his or her paintings. Now, continuing, next paragraph. Ihine ha'odam ha'chote nikra kemo mazik. A person who commits a sin is considered to be a damager. That means that every time a person transgresses one of Hashem's laws, then the person is damaging the spiritual balance of the world. And sometimes it can even have impact on the physical balance of the world. But the person is a mazik, a damager. V'kaimulon, and we hold in the halacha, based on the Gemara, as you see in Maseches Gittin, ha-nizokin shamin lahem be'idis. When damages are done and a person has to pay for the damages, we evaluate it from the best of the property. Ve'im kain ha-yelo lomus. If so, if we charge a damager, a mazik, a person who committed damages, who damaged someone else's property, from the best of his property, then life is the most valuable thing we have. So a person should die for whatever sin he transgressed, kedei lemorek avonosav, in order to erase his sins. Ubiprate kaimolon kerebi Akiva, and this is specifically true because we hold, like Rebbe Akiva's view, dibimazik shayminon, that when we evaluate the best property, we do it based on the property that belongs to the mazik, the damager. We're not looking at the property of the nizak, of the one who the damage was inflicted upon, the damagee, so to speak. Rather, we hold, like Rebbe Akiva's viewpoint, that we base the assessment on the best property of the mazik, and that is the property that the mazik has to pay from. And so, let's just give an example so we understand what's being said. If a guy named Joe damaged property that belonged to Jim, and we would go to Joe, according to Rebbe Akiva, and we would say, you need to pay, let's say, for the $500 of damage you did to Jim's property from your best property. So show us your best piece of land, and we will determine how much of that land equals $500. And when you're going to have to give that land, from the best of your land, you're going to have to give that to Jim to make up for the damage that you did to his property. And that's Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint, and that's the viewpoint that is brought down in halacha, in Jewish law. V'im kol zeh, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tovasenu, Hashem, for our benefit, for our good and our benefit, Hoshesh was concerned l'svaras Rabbi Yishmael, for the viewpoint and the thinking of Rabbi Yishmael, who is the individual in the Mishnah who argues with Rabbi Akiva, and he said, we base our evaluation on the property of the damagee, the one whose property was damaged. Meaning, in our case of Joe and Jim, we would not look at Joe's property and determine what Joe needs to, which property he needs to pay from. We would look at Jim's property, the guy whose property was damaged. And we would then say to Jim, show us the best of your property. Show us the best land that you own. And Jim would show it to us. And then we would say to Joe, look in your land, your different land holdings, find land that is similar in value to Jim's best property, and pay him what you owe him from property that corresponds to his best property. Even if you, Joe, own property that is much more valuable, it doesn't matter, according to Rebbe Yishmael, because he says we make the initial evaluation based on the property of the nizak, of the one whose property was damaged, not the mazik, who was the damager. We don't start with the damager's property, as Rebbe Akiva said. We start with the damagee's property. And Hashem, according to the Zeres Shimshon's explanation, takes that account into consideration. Ulegabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol Echad. From Hashem's perspective, it's all the same thing. V'hakol nikra meitav, and everything is considered good. So from Hashem's perspective, and Hashem here in the Zeres Shimshon's analogy is the nizak, the one whose world was damaged by the person's transgression. So from if we're going to evaluate things from Hashem's perspective, whether or not we're talking about a person's life or health or wealth, it's all equal. There's no difference in value there, as the Zera Shimshon explained before, and it's all considered a good thing that Hashem blessed the person with. Mishum hachi, because of this, ho do we give thanks and praise lemi shegove chova, who collects his debt, but tova shenosein lo, with the good, through the good things, he inflicts punishments if he has to inflict the punishment on the good things that he gave us. Delegabe didei, because regarding Hashem's perspective, hakol nikrametav, everything is considered equally good. Even our property is considered equally good and valuable relative to our health and our life. So therefore, it's an unbelievable bracha. It is an incredible blessing. And this is the thrust of the idea that the Zera Shimshon is trying to convey to us. It's an almost inestimable blessing. It is inestimable, an incredible, magnificent blessing that Hashem gives us, that when he has to punish a person, he doesn't punish the person based on what's most valuable to that individual, but rather he punishes the person on what he considers valuable. And from Hashem's unique perspective, our belongings can be viewed at the same level of value as our health and our life. And therefore, Hashem will punish with our property that he blessed us with, as opposed to the other blessings, which are so much more significant to us, the blessing of health and the blessing of life. Hashem will start with the property. God willing, people never need to be punished for anything, and they'll only do the right thing. But as human beings, we make mistakes, and we should always try and keep in mind that if Hashem does have to punish us, he is going to use the principle of starting with our property first. Yashar Koch, the joining in the Zera Shimshon this week, and we look forward to learning together again, God willing, next week in the Zera Shimshon.